Hello, my name is Reverend Seth Nelson, and I am the pastor of Faith Lutheran Church in Ronan, Montana. Join in weekly to hear the good news of God's love proclaimed over your life. You can follow us on Podbean and iTunes. God bless you this day.
Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As some of you may have seen, I posted last night on Facebook and Instagram. I spent the last couple days toiling away at building a playset for these eager, energetic youngsters that I call my children. pretty sweet. I was thinking back to the 80s and when I was growing up, and it was all too commonplace. We had these plastic metal swing things with a little slide, and theirs has like a rock wall, roof, ladder, like a playset downstairs, this epic slide, swings, there's like an extra special swing on it too. And I was like, man, this is way cooler than anything I ever had. I wanna go back and be a little kid again, I guess. But as I was working, a thought occurred to me. I was up working on the getting the place set together and the beautiful missions in the background, just epic scenery. And I had no fears up there of marauding armies coming through around Ann and tearing this thing down, right? I had no fears of earthquakes or fires or things that people faced at other times in their lives. And as I was, it hit me and struck me in that moment that when things are going bad, many people ask, why God? Why is this happening to me? Why am I suffering through a cancer diagnosis? Why did this person die in my life? Why did I lose my job? Why did this or that bad thing happen here and there? Much more rarely do we consider our moments of blessing. Why are we blessed, right? Why are we in this good moment, right? We're arguably no more deserving of in the good times than we are undeserving in the bad times. I was in this moment of, well, I guess I wasn't totally at peace as I was toiling away and trying to find. By the way, play sets is like build by numbers. And as a guitarist, anybody know the game? It's not quite as popular as it once was, but Guitar Hero, right? You play Guitar Hero and you just play the prescribed numbers, right? You got like five buttons to play. It's totally different than actually playing guitar. Just like building stuff with like matching the numbers of bolts and stuff is like, like paint by numbers. It's like totally different than actually measuring stuff out and building it for real. But it's kind of a digression to say that in the moment I felt blessed to be able to provide this fun playset for my children. I did not have any fear while doing so. To live in a place in a time where I'm fairly secure and that I know that when, presuming that my children don't fall off it, when they play on it, they will be at peace too. Why? Why are we blessed in that moment? Why do good things happen? Not just bad things. But why are these good moments unveil as they do? Why? Well, if we really contemplate it, I doubt that we will have an answer. And if we do have an answer to that question, I doubt that it will be a good one. Sun shines on the good and the bad. Rain falls on the good and the bad. Things just happen. Things just line up as they do. We have seasons in our lives where things come together and go right, and we have seasons in our lives where the opposite is true. There is good and bad. But the powerful thing that we hear from Scripture is that out of the midst of both the good and the bad, blessed things happen. Blessed things happen. And it can be a real challenge for us, especially as Christians, to recognize what God is up to in the world. And thank you, Carl, for your wonderful reading. This our Old Testament passage from Isaiah 43 is one of my favorites in the entire Bible, especially in ministry. It says, "Do not remember the former things or consider the things of old. I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do not perceive it." I'm about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? Kind of like God saying through the prophet, open your eyes. See what I'm doing? Don't you see it? Don't you see I am at work all around you? Why are you missing this? I am making things sprout from the desert, right? Growth happen where there shouldn't be any new things. In a place that's supposed to be dead and old and despairing, new life is happening. Do you not see that? I actually took the time to look at the Hebrew for this passage for today. And when it says, I'm about to do a new thing, it's literally, I am about to grow a new thing in terms of like agriculture, right? It's a very fitting passage for spring. I'm about to blossom anew. I'm about to bring new life where it should just be desert and wilderness. Nothing should grow. The hearers of this would be especially, questioning, what do you mean you're about to do a new thing? They were still in exile. They had been for decades. They had been beaten twice, really, and conquered. They had been hauled off to the city of Babylon, where they were away from their own lands, their own fields, their own homes, their own legacies. The former things, the things they knew, were despair, defeat, weakness, vulnerability. Things that can distract you and make you feel like you are unworthy, and that there are no good tomorrows to come because the todays and the yesterdays have been so bad. So when the prophet says, I'm about to do a new thing, do not perceive it. Surely as hearers of that, they would be like, what are you talking about? It's like they're saying to somebody in the midst of the Dust Bowl and the Great Depression. Oh yeah, things are bad now, but I'm doing new stuff. How come you don't recognize as you are starving and struggling to hold on to your farms and your houses? I'm doing new stuff. Don't you see it? It's like saying to people in the midst of flood or an earthquake or all sorts of tragedies, tornado, torn towns and stuff that I've lived through in the Midwest. I'm doing new stuff. Don't you see it? As the hearers of that, they'd be like, what are you talking about? We're still reeling from the pain of the past. We are still caught up in despair. How dare you ask us to look for the new thing? We are still trying to put our lives back together from the old. But that's the power of Scripture, isn't it? That's the power of redemption that only God can bring. That God can bring us through times of depression and drought and pain and tragedy and bring us to new tomorrows. That in the desert, God can make life sprout. In the dry places, God can bring rain. And in the flooded places, God can dry them out once again. That is what God is up to in the world. God is all about the new thing, the impossible, bringing about the impossible. Where we are stuck and just looking for what we know, right? What we can expect and see as possible according to our expectations, according to what we know. And the timing of that usually doesn't line up to what we would expect. So when we're in hardship and say, why is this happening to me, God? And when we're having the good times and we forget to ask those questions, why is that this happening to me? That God is behind the scenes through it all. God is bringing about the good times, and God is bringing us through the bad as well. That, so that no matter whatever happens, yesterday, today, or tomorrow, God is there with us through it all. Making sure that the new life, the new things spring forth, even in the most desert of places. And perhaps especially so. If you had told anybody in the 20s and 30s, especially pastors, it was very, we had the lowest church attendance, churches like closing and struggling to survive in the 20s and 30s, that just around the corner would be the greatest two decades of church attendance and involvement of an entire century, probably would have laughed at you. But that's exactly what happened in the history of our church. Imagine, as we face new realities, new struggles, new hardships each and every day, new questions about how do we move forward from this, we always must imagine, what is the new thing that God will do for us tomorrow? What is the new thing that God will do for us tomorrow? May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
I hope that you've enjoyed this week's sermon podcast. If you would like to hear more, read my blog, or get a copy of my book called The Church Unknown, go to www.revsethnelson.com. If you feel called to support our ministry, I invite you to go to our church's website at flcronan.org and click on the Offerings tab. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine on you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.